Last Sunday, we looked at verse 4 of this chapter, verse 4. And let me repeat this verse again. It says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." We looked at various scriptures to determine what it means to abide in Jesus and what it takes. And we concluded with a few things. Number one, Jesus says, "Abide in me," which means remain in me. Two, Jesus does not say that he is like a vine. Rather, he says he is the vine, and we are his branches. This means he is the source. Three, Jesus indicates that there are two types of branches and that are attached to the vine, which is Jesus himself. One type bears fruit and the other doesn't. The one that bears fruit is the healthy type, and the one doesn't, that is the unhealthy, weak, unreal branch. Four, Jesus tells us further that the unhealthy and weak type is the superficial, unreal, and synthetic believers alike, look-alike individual. They are the individuals who walked with Christ at one point in their lives and did great work in his name, but now they are no longer in Christ. This raises a theological question, and I discussed that question last Sunday. And the question was, does it mean that we can lose our salvation? And the answer is, the simple answer that we discover in first letter of John, chapter 2, verse 19, where we found very clearly, and it says that those branches, those folks who are no longer in me, they were not in me to begin with. More importantly and more conclusively, John 10, chapter 10, verse 28 tells us, Jesus talks about this idea of salvation. It says that nothing, nobody can snatch you from my hand. Nobody can snatch you from my Father's hand. So once you are saved, you are saved, that's done deal. So this is not about that. It's about those people who once said or pretended that they are following Christ, but they were lying. They were deceiving themselves and they were deceiving the believers. For whatever reason, they believed in Christ, but they never truly placed their faith in Christ. They had their own agenda, like Judas, one of the apostles, one of the disciples. Five, Jesus declares a clear verdict against such blood-sucking agents of destruction in the body of Christ that they will wither and be thrown in the fire. Six, we looked at and we said essentially what Jesus is saying here is that if we abide in him, we will bear much fruit, and if we do not abide in him, we will not bear fruit. White and black, no gray area whatsoever. Very clear. Nevertheless, he said, fruit is the true test of abiding in Jesus, but with a caution. And the caution was for you and I. And the caution is this, that don't think this fruit is going to save you. Going back to John 10, 28. You are already saved, that nothing has to do with your salvation. Actually, it is the fruit, it's the result of your salvation. A little or much fruit is guaranteed if one abides in him. So if you have little fruit or a lot, great. But if you don't have fruit, then you are in trouble. Every believer must produce fruit. That's what Jesus said. No fruit means that a person is a fake, phony, that unreal person and does not belong to Christ. Now, for the rest of my message, I want us to look at the fruit itself, all right? There are many good books available in the market today, Christian books, and these books will tell you do 7 things or 12 things or X amount of things, and those things will help you to bear fruit. There are principles out there, 7 principles, 3 principles, 6 principles, how to be healthy Christian, how to grow in Christ. There are a number of different people who are selling bestsellers by giving practical tools to make you think that by applying those principles and tools, you will bear fruit. Some propose 7, another propose 12 steps. Some focus on reading the Bible regularly, and other focus on having more spiritually enriched, prayerful life. Let me say this. All of that is good. That's why they're selling their books. All of that is godly and probably biblical. But Jesus has only one principle. Only one principle. And that principle is right out of John 15:4. And it says, abide in me and I in you. That's all. As long as you do that, you will bear fruit. You will blossom. You will grow. It tells us that only by abiding in him, we will bear much fruit. In order to pass the only test that Jesus puts forth for us, for his followers, the test of fruit, we need to look at 3 key questions tonight. 3 key questions. Question number 1, how do you define the fruit? When we hear the term bearing fruit, many of us immediately think about doing more work for the kingdom of God. Nothing bad. Going to more Bible studies, even teaching some of those Bible studies. Participating in the worship group, in the choir. Helping out with the outreaches that the church offers, whether it's the shut-ins or the homeless ministry. Getting more involved, like doing more stuff. Putting more things on our calendar after our day job. Again, nothing wrong with that, because that is all godly, and scripture talks about those things, that part of the fellowship, but that is not the fellowship that Christ is asking here. Jesus is calling for an end to all work-based salvation. And he's inaugurating a new type of salvation, and that is based purely on grace, where you, I, or anybody else cannot do anything because he has already done everything for us. That's why he can stand and say, all you need to do is abide in me and I in you, and we're all set. Please open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 23. The reason why fruit is the test of being in Christ, being with Christ, and being of Christ is because Christ is the main point and fruit is the result of being in him and he being in our lives. And why? Look at this. Here's the scriptures talking about why he is the focal point. Chapter 1, verse 15 through 23, it says this, he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. By him, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the glue that holds the universe together. And he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that is everything. He might be in everything. He might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Verse 21, and you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above approach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, proclaim a minister. So Paul is testifying to the fact why Jesus is the utmost important thing in this paradigm. Why he is the one that we need to care about, nothing else. Because he is the main thing. He is the major thing. And then later, Paul in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, gives us a list of the fruit of Spirit. And if you turn your Bible to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, this is what it says: but the fruit of Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then it says, against such things there is no law. Notice in this verse, notice that it does not say the fruits of the Spirit. Rather, it says the fruit, the singular fruit of the Spirit is all these 7-8 things he listed. Singular source, the source, the embodiment of all these characteristics mentioned in Galatians 5, 22 and 23 is Jesus himself. So once you have Jesus, the source, once you got him, once you abide in him and he abides in you, then you're all set. Then you don't need to struggle with kindness, love, joy, peace. You don't need to struggle with self-control and gentleness. You don't need to struggle with faithfulness or steadfastness. Why? Because you got Jesus. If you got the source, you got everything. This is why Jesus says in verse 5, John 15, verse 5, he says, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So if you and I are trying to be kind to those people who are not so kind to us, if you and I are trying to be faithful to the Lord and we are struggling, if you and I are trying to be joyful when we don't even have any reason to be joyful, when you and I are totally, utterly defeated by the circumstances and we feel that we are failure, and we are trying to somehow bear that burden and move forward and be kind and good to others, and we are failing. The reason is that we are trying to do all those things in our flesh, where Jesus says that you don't need to do that. All you need to do is get hooked up to the source. Get plugged in to the source, and you will experience all these things that you desire after. So how do you define fruit? That's the question, right? First, the answer is you don't. The fruit defines you as worthy of bearing it or not based on how your relationship is with the Lord Jesus, the source. If you are a broken branch, fruit is going to reject you because nutrients are not coming through. Second, this fruit that Jesus talks about is living. It's living and active, like the river of living water that Jesus proclaimed in John 7, verse 38. And this is what it says, John 7, verse 38. It says, anyone who believes in me may come and drink from the scripture, for the scriptures declared, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. Third, if Jesus is the fountain of water, then by abiding in him, drinking from it or him, we inherit the fruit which flows from within. Fourth, this fruit that Jesus talks about is something that the vine dresser, Father, God the Father, comes to search for, and when he does not find it, he cuts and he throws it into fire. And that's why we need to be careful that we stay in him, remain in him. Five, there is no future for a branch that does not abide in him. Sooner or later, the branch will be cut and thrown into fire. Only the abiding branches will survive the wrath of God and blossom in their due time. So right now, if you're going through a time when you don't feel spiritually lightened up and you don't feel enthusiastic about your spiritual experience, if you don't feel that you're doing well, do one thing, abide in him. And in his due time, he will lift you up. Amen. So if you have been following Christ for quite some time and you are not able to see any fruit in your life, you need to reconsider. You need to prioritize your goals for 2017. That's the idea of this series, First Things. 2017, sorry. And this is still January. It's the last Sunday of January. Maybe you need to look at your relationship with Christ. You need to re-examine and evaluate it. Perhaps you do not have a relationship with Christ, or you do have a relationship with Christ, but it's a one-side relationship where he doesn't even know you. Remember that portion of scriptures where this group of people comes on the judgment day and they cry out, Jesus, Jesus, Lord, we knew, we did all these miracles in your name. And Jesus said, take them away from me. And he tells them, I never knew you. Perhaps you have known Christ for many years, but you don't bear fruit because you have not taken the next step. Next step. It's like going out with someone for the first time or second time or third time and thinking that you are in a relationship. You have not even begun to scratch the surface of that relationship. You have no meaningful relationship. Without commitment, you cannot experience true relationship. The way I know my wife now, it's much different when we were dating. It's the same thing abiding in Christ. When you abide in Christ, you commit to Christ. When you abide in Christ, you're devoted to Christ. When you abide in Christ, you're married to Christ. So you know him in a way that you cannot experience by simply dating him. Going to church every Sunday, going to this activity or that activity, just another way of dating Jesus. He desires intimate relationship, intimate fellowship. Is your relationship solely based on your religious ritual, tradition, or this personal satisfaction because you are going to church, so therefore you're feeling a little more faithful? Or is it a true relationship where you desire, you cannot even wait for the next time when you can meet a brother or sister in the street, or you can meet a brother or sister at the church? What is it that you strive for? Are you dating Christ for your personal gain because you want to get something out of it? Or are you dating because you want to have this long lasting relationship with him? If you know somebody who claims to be a believer but has not shown any visible signs, I believe it's your opportunity to re-evangelize that person this year too. Let that person know too that he or she needs to abide in him. He or she needs to show some fruit. They need to hear this message. I need to hear this message. You all need to hear this message. Question number two. What do you do to bear much fruit? So if the fruit is so important, what do you do in order to bear much fruit? Right? Some of us may think that we need to try to bear more fruit, even try harder, right? For example, if we want to be kind, some of us may think that we need to work on being kind. Rather than talking about kind, we need to act on it and be kind to other people, right? That's we trying. We may even say, if I start working on one issue of mine at a time, I will be able to bear much fruit. For example, if I struggle with self-control, maybe I need to start with something lighter that I can handle. Perhaps kindness, perhaps joy. And even if I fail, at least I tried. Right? Wrong. You don't try. You just abide in him. That's what Jesus says. Don't worry about bearing fruit. Worry about abiding in him. The longer you remain in that position where you're wasting your time worrying about doing things and figuring out how to bear more fruit, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your precious time to experience that fellowship with Christ that will result into that fruit. As long as you are detached, you are disattached from the branch, from the vine, you just can't bear fruit. So, New Testament, we talk about this idea of fellowship in the New Testament, and I brought this Greek word, koinonia, and I discussed that. I just want to add a few more things to that. In New Testament, the fellowship has this idea that it is an active participation. Active participation, sharing and contribution, that is common in each believer in the church. That means you and I live to share with each other. You and I live to do everything we do for others. You are more important to me than my own interest. That's the type of fellowship Bible is talking about. We need to be selfless and willing to share and contribute with the body of Christ, which itself is the fruit. When we start doing that, that means you're already bearing fruits. When you begin to die to yourself and you start living for others, you're bearing fruits. When you don't have to think about being kind and you being kind, you are bearing fruits. When you are joyful, when even you see everything is going wrong in your life, you just somehow you cannot understand this joy. That means you're bearing fruit. When everybody is giving you bad news and you're just like, Lord, thank you so much, I'm still healthy. I'm not sitting in some hospital. That perspective is the fruit. Then we get to this last point where the question is, how do you differentiate yourself from other branches? Because the Bible, basically what Jesus is saying, that he's saying that these branches are attached to me. Both type of branches are attached to me. They are part of the church. They go to church. How do I know the people who are sitting here, including myself, who is the healthy branch or who is not? Or should I be concerned about my personal health? Am I the healthy branch? How do I know? How would I differentiate that? And more importantly, how people out there can tell which one is the healthy branch, right? That's the idea. That's the third question. So the third and final question has to do with your maturity and my maturity and self-assessment. How honest I am in my assessment, or you are honest in your personal assessment. You will show honesty in your assessment only if you are mature enough to do that, right? You don't give self-evaluation to a young kid and tell him like, hey, evaluate yourself, or give him his exam to grade himself, because they have yet to prove their integrity and maturity. You and I, when we do our self-assessment, that shows our maturity. So don't be deceived by your religiosity or works, because they not gonna determine your fruit. They do not make you a faithful or fruitful branch. So in your assessment, having fellowship with Christ means experiencing Christ daily, personally, and allowing others to experience Christ through you. What does that mean, through you? That means everything you do, everything that you say, all that you are, reflects only one thing: the glory of Christ. So when people come in contact with you, even those who hate you, even those who persecute you, who have wronged you, they are compelled to question. They are compelled to question why this person acts so differently. Why this person is so differently from all of us. That's the type of difference we are talking about. Are you aware of your status in Christ? Are you aware of the state of your spiritual health? Are you healthy branch? Are you, if you are the healthy branch, is it true that are people out, other people out there in the world are able to see that you are a healthy branch? Or do they just see you one of the other people who are hanging around? Do you make decisions differently than your peers at work? If you are, then you should live a better life than the one that the world knows and shows, right? A changed life, hear this, a changed life is a transformed life, and the transformation cannot take place unless and until you are subjected to the Father's knife. Look at verse 2. It says, "And every branch that does not bear fruit, he," the Father, "prunes that it may bear more fruit." If you think God is being hard on you, then remember, he loves you so much, he cares for you so much, that he's willing to take his time and prune you. It hurts him when he corrects you, but he's willing to. Are you suffering and going through trials, and the deceiver, the liar, Satan, that's the meaning of Satan, deceiver, he's whispering in your ear that, you see, you are a lost cause. You have no fruit. You've been Christian for how many years? You see, you're never, ever going to have fruit. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. He's taking advantage of your weak circumstances, weak flesh, and trying to throw you off the trail. He wants to show you that you do not belong in the vine. Christ tells us only one thing. He says, remain in me and I in you. Doesn't matter what you go through. It does not matter what is happening in your life right now. As long as you remain in me, I promise you, I will get you through this. That's the promise of Christ. Let me close with the remaining portion of 1 Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29. Paul gives us a clear picture of how a healthy branch differs itself from others and shines for the glory of God. This is what it says. Now, I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body. That is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship form from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you. That's the branch. Remember, Jesus said, I abide in you, and you abide in me, and I in you. That's right there. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I told, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me. So Paul tells us that I am going through suffering. I am going through this pain for the sake of the church. And then he tells us there's a mystery in this suffering. The only way I can handle this suffering and this trial and toil is by abiding in him. And he is abiding in me. And then he talks about being mature in Christ. So when you get to that level of maturity, you understand how being in Christ, how by abiding in Christ, we are able to bear fruit. Then we don't need to go after fruit, we go after the source. And once we got the source in our life, then the fruit comes automatically. Let's pray. Dear Father, I just give this time to you, and I thank you for your Son who made the gospel so simple, so easy. There is no 10 steps or 12 steps. There is nothing that we need to follow in a certain direction or in a certain way. All we need to do is, Lord, abide in you and you in us, and we will bear much fruit. I pray that each and every one of us may learn to abide in you. And I pray that you abide in us, so we may bear much fruit for the glory of you, your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.